Thank you for those beautiful songs and all the songs this morning. Again, we don't ask the offering plate anymore because of COVID. A lot of things we don't do like we used to do. But as we leave, the ushers will be back at the back. If you're a visitor, fill out the visitor's card, put it in the offering plate as you leave. And we have so many deaths here lately. I see Brother Jim Sweet back there. His precious wife went on to be with the Lord. And the Lord has been with that family. Let's pray for them. And then right before that, Miss Israel went on to be with the Lord. Things are happening. People are going, and we are soon going. But until then, let's turn our attention to what we ought to be in this day. I've said, and it gets more real to me every day, that God trusted you and me for this generation. He had a Moses for that generation. And I know we're not like Moses, but he has you and I, and he trusts us to be in different locations, to have different friends, some even to go to different churches. And this day and time, he's given us so many opportunities. Those that can't be here by can watch by Facebook or the internet, we welcome you and thank God for that. God has given us so much. Let's don't squander it. Let's take advantage of every opportunity God has given us. Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 2. And then you'll probably have it on the screen also. We're going to read a verse in Numbers, chapter 77. And while you're turning, also the first day of the month, we bring our lost coins. And if you'll read the bulletin, the reason we do that, Lord put on my heart, I believe the first month I was here, back in the old days, 1993, to start doing this. And it gets your attention. Look for lost coins, not just for the value of the coin, but for the value of a lost soul. Because Jesus put a lot of emphasis on that. He told us that parable. So we collect them, we pray over them, we bring them, we dedicate them to God, not just the coins, but what they represent, a lost soul. If you're looking for them, you can find them at gas stations, car washes, on the street. Sometimes they're cold and they're dirty. They don't even look like a coin sometimes, but neither did your soul and mine, when we were lost, was unclean, it reminds us. And God will give the results when we turn our lives to him and his attention. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2, we give thanks, God, for you. For you all, making mention of you in our prayers. How important that is, that when we pray, we make mention of others in their prayers. This is a key verse this morning. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. The writer is letting us know that his life was serving God, and he was thankful for those around him. He prayed for them, and his testimony was that all the people that watched him and saw his actions, his attitude, his assurance that God had placed him in the work that he did, that last phrase we read, much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. What he was, but then when Christ came by and redeemed him, what he was for Christ. People are looking at you, the world, saved people and lost, and they're trusting you and I. And we remember those things. Key verse in verse 3 for us this morning is remembering. I had some water around here. Here it is. I can't keep up with anything. I'm proud I don't have to keep up with my salvation. God keeps that for me. We can't lose our salvation, lose everything else. But I want to look this morning is remembering and reassuring. There's a lot we need to remember. And as I was praying and seeking God's face, the number 24 kept coming up to my mind. And so I went back in my memory, 24. Let's look at the number 24. Let's look at it in God's word to start with. The first time he uses this word would be in Numbers chapter 7 and verse 77. Or verse 88, chapter 7. And all the oxen for the sacrifice of the peace offering. We're talking about the peace offering now. Were 20 and 4 bullocks. The ram 60. The he-goats 60. The lambs of the first year 60. This was a dedication of the altar after that it was anointed. The number 24, the first time he used it, is an association with an altar. We read the scripture in Thessalonians about praying for others, about an altar, and their life should be on the altar for God. And the number 24 came back, and what was happening 24 years ago? Well, it's a significant Sunday here. 24 years ago, which would be November the 3rd, 1996. I remember it like it was this year or last week. We were in the old sanctuary. This one was built in 2004. And in that sanctuary that day, there was a camera in the baptistry, the purpose to take a picture of the congregation that the Lord had told us to do. And it was a small auditorium, but that particular Sunday, there was chairs in all the aisles. It seems like every aisle and every seat was full. And the Lord said, smile, and we took a picture. What was the significance of that? Well, 2 months before that, on September the 8th, the year 2096, the Lord told me to put a camera in the baptistry and take a picture of that congregation. And he said, I'm going to give you 8 weeks opportunity of growth and to be about my business and see how I increase you. Now, I had been asking for 6 weeks. And that Saturday night, the Lord told me, I'll give you 8 weeks. I'll give you 2 months. You tell the congregation. We were a small congregation that September the 8th. And he said, put a camera in the baptistry and tell them that we're going to take a picture. And 2 months from now, we're going to take another picture. And the opportunity and open door is for you. I'm going to open doors, circumstances. We're going to read about that this morning. And I keep thinking back in my mind, and I have all these years. And God increases between those 8 weeks. Over 50 got saved, and over 100 joined the church. And God had did a wonderful work. And I go back in my mind, and I have, and you should too. What brought that on? God can do what he wants to when he wants to, but he uses you. He uses me. Uses obedience. And he will let us this morning go through some things that happened then, and it could happen again. He didn't tell me we'd have 8 weeks. I don't know if we'll have that long. But he did say there's a wind of opportunity, the same circumstances, the same scripture, the same God, the same needs. I remember back a lot of things, the conditions of the day. Many of you wasn't even born yet, but in 1996, just 2 days later, on the 5th, there was a presidential election, an election for the whole country. And in my mind, I couldn't even remember who was elected that year. I had to go back and look. You said, well, I remember. Well, President Clinton was elected for his second term 2 days later. I don't remember that. I do remember everything happened that Sunday morning. I'm telling you, I do. Why? Because that was important. Was not the presidential election important? It was, still is, but that's not the importance of the hour. So you and I know it's important. I'm not diminishing that. I'm just telling you that our mind should be on our lives, hid with Christ and God, living a life in this sinful world so others can see Jesus. And that's the emphasis. Don't ever forget it. And the devil would try to tear down, destroy, get us up, mine on everything else. But remember what God wants us to do. Now let me go back a little bit more how that led up. For two or three years, I came 93, and for two or three years, not only me, the congregation, we wanted to grow. I didn't know how to grow, but God did. And I had to travel a lot in those days across the country. And I remember the burden God started giving me. I would be in Texas down near the Mexican border. There was lonely roads back in those days. And I'd be driving, and my emphasis was on America, revival, and our church. I was pastor and still working at General Electric. And I would get out on those roads, and I would lay down flat in the middle of the road on the yellow line. Wasn't any danger because you could see forever. Nobody was coming on those roads. And head my face toward Washington, D.C., and as I was praying, God, send revival to our nation. Let it begin with us. Let it begin with me. And everywhere I go, if I was at the seacoast, I would always stand in the water's brink. And for months and months, that burden was there, and I wanted to grow. And then God give us 6 weeks opportunity. He said, I'll give you 8 if you will declare it by that camera. So I'm going to look in the scripture this morning at some of that message. I don't have notes from it, but I can remember some of the things God gave me to tell the congregation as we were taking that picture. And I distinctly remember 2 months later what happened, and that would be 24 years, first Sunday in November, 24 years today. So let's go through the scripture together. Let's look first of all at the things God wants us to do and how he wants us to do it. He's still on the throne, and we're going through hard times, just like we were then, probably a lot worse. But I want to look, first of all, at the consideration of our walk. You need, and I need to look at how we consider, how God considers our walk with the Lord. To do that, we're going to look at 2 John chapter 1, verse 4. And this is the same scripture God gave me on September the 8th, 1996. That day, in preparation for the 2 months coming. Same scripture. I didn't have notes of it. That was before I started keeping very good notes. I still don't keep very good notes, but God has given me a pretty good memory, thank the Lord. 2 John 1, chapter 1, verse 4 through 11. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning. We love one another. It seems to me like he's stressing that fact. Love, love, love. Love lost souls. That's why it gave me a burden for a church. It wasn't just that we wanted to grow and increase in numbers, so eventually he'd give it. No, no, no. It was, if you have the right reasons. See, the reason is we love God for all he's done, what he's doing, and we love our fellow man. And it's not my love or yours. It's the love God placed within us. See, our love gets cold. I mean, you can have the best friend in the world, and if they don't do the suit, you pretty soon, not only are they sometimes not kind of friends, sometimes they become an enemy. But see, the love God puts in their hearts not like that. That we love one another. Love lost souls. Souls that you don't even know. Look at verse 6. And this is love. I'm surprised he defines love. Because we say I love beans and I love potatoes and I love this, but here's the love God wants us to share. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. God defines love as he's God. We love him. We say we do. Obviously, we mean to. But he judges the amount of love we have by how we follow him. He said to the congregation, why calling me Lord, Lord, not do my commandments? And he judges love if we keep his commandments. This is love. And then keeping those commandments to walk according to his will, to his ways, and walk accordingly to his precepts, and love our neighbor as we say, and love our nation, and love our church, and love the work of God. That's love. And that causes a burden. I've never in my life did I remember asking God to take away a burden. Sometimes we have burdens about different things so heavy, we can't hardly take it. Thank God. Because when you get a burden, you can pray. And you know that prayer is getting through to God. You pray without a burden, it seems to be just words. No depth to it. But love gets it. Prayers answered. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. And this is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. That's interesting, that word, ye have heard. Remember, we're discussing the subject this morning. Remembering, that's the title of the message, remembering and reassuring. And he mentions five times in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, the writer John does, ye have heard. Remember that we have heard. That's what he's stressing. Why would he mention, it's so important, why would he mention five times in 1st John 1, 2nd John, and 3rd John, five times ye have heard. Five happens to be the number of grace. And he wants us to remember that we've heard it. We abide in it, that we love one another. And so doing, you'll keep his commandments. And that proves to God your love for him. And then he said, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. The ways of God and the way we walk in this world and their attitude, their action describes everything. If you have a right attitude toward things, that's pleasing to God. It's hard to have a right attitude when people are treating you wrong. But if you can, that's even a greater blessing. It's hard to have a good attitude when everything seems to be going wrong in the world and sickness and COVID and all these things. But if you can, and you can, if you love God and you keep his commandments and put that first in your life, then your attitude can be right. And I promise you this, if your attitude is right on the commandments of God, your actions will follow. You'll act accordingly to the attitude you've got about God and his commandments. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, that we receive a full reward. Those things that he has told us that we abide in, don't lose them. He says, if we have, we'll receive a full reward. In this life, when people tell us, you know, you have a reward for this, you have a reward for that, we strive a lot harder to achieve something, don't we? Whether it's if you're playing basketball, football, whatever, a reward would be that you're going to do well and win a lot. And your reward seems to be achieving. Well, God says if you will have the right attitude and the right actions toward love for one another and me and keep my commandments, I'll give you a reward. And that reward will be a full reward. People may promise you a full something, and it seems like it diminishes and gets smaller every year, doesn't it? But when God says full reward, you can count on it. It will be from the throne room of God. This is to get our hearts right with God so we can pray right and do right and take advantage of that opportunity and the promises and the reassuring that God has given us in this day. Verse 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrines of Christ He hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him God speed. For he that biddeth him God speed is partaker of his evil deeds. That's so clear. You couldn't miss it if you tried to miss it. Because it's not just what we do, it's the attitude you have toward the things of God. We love it. It's also the attitude we have against the things that aren't of God. And if you partake of it, you're partaking of his evil deeds, if he's doing wrong. You couldn't miss that if you tried to. I love the word of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. It's so easy. It's just simple. Everyday thinking. Even a 6 or 7 year old understands that. Let's get to the next thing. We've looked at the consideration of your walk. God considers your walk, and he says, if you walk according to the precepts of God, I'll give you a full reward. Love for your fellow man, love for me. And the reward, in our case, 1996 came because there were sacrifices to be made. We want to talk about that next. Let's look at the choices God gives us. Number two, we've looked at the consideration of our walk. Let's look at some choices God gives us. Isaiah 58, verse 6. This is also the same scripture God gave me September the 8th, 1996. God doesn't change. His word doesn't change. Let's listen and glean what God wants us to know about our choices. There's consequences to all the choices we have. Isaiah 58, verse 6. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose bands of the wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. We have to stop there. Don't care how big a hurry I get in, we have to stop there. Listen carefully at verse 8. He's telling us that if we do these things, remember, if you have a choice, say, well, if you do this, this will happen. If you do that, that'll happen. We know choices, consequences to every choice we make in life. Don't have time to get into that, but this is God's way. If you want the light of the gospel to break through your heart, to redeem lost souls, to increase you in his work, to have the fullness of the fellowship of the association with others that God can give you along the way, just to get the full reward that he wants you to have in this world. He said, if you'll do these things in verse 6 and 7, your light will break forth as the morning. The light of God that illuminates her soul and her heart and her mind and gives us joy in the midst of the walk of life. Didn't say a thing about circumstances, did he? We'll talk about that last. Because the light of God, if you follow him, he would direct your paths, give us that which we need, and we already know he'll give us full reward. And thine health shall spring forth speedily. If you watch much TV, or hardly any TV, there's a lot of commercials on there about health products. I'm not a physician. I'm not a nurse. I don't know a thing about it. But I do know this. They will say this will probably help this, this, and this. And then for the next probably more than they've told you the good of it, they say, but caution. You know, it could cause this. It could cause this. It could cause this. And after that, I just forget, well, if I was interested in the first part, I'm not interested now because those side effects are greater than what I'm after to start with. And so medicine's wonderful. Doctors are great. God has given us all those wonderful things. But here's God's recipe and God's remedy. It'll work. Listen at it. If we do the things he wants us to do, then health shall spring forth speedily. I'm not one that advocates because the Bible doesn't advocate it. That if you'll serve God and be perfect, your health will be good. I'm not saying that because we know it's not true. But he did say this. God, sometimes our health is bad because of the things we do. And only he knows the difference. But I'll guarantee you when things happen to me, health-wise, or somebody I love, first thing I do is, God, open up my mind of understanding. Is there something I missed? Is there something that I haven't done? Is this something that could have been avoided if I had listened to you? We're talking about choices. And many times, God will say, yes, you didn't listen. You didn't heed my voice. So try that, you know, next time. I'm not saying all sicknesses or because of our sins. We know many of them in the Bible were born blind, and Jesus said that the works of God be manifest. I know all that, but I'm also saying that none of us are in perfect health. That we know. We agree with that. Well, he says, let's don't worry about our thoughts. This is what God says. Thine health shall spring forth speedily. And no matter what kind of health we have, we know God's able to touch the help. In my opinion, when the light breaks through and we serve God. For instance, if you don't get enough sleep, you're probably hurting your resistance. If you don't eat the right food, just simple things, we know all that. But that, God says there's more than that. It's not what the rest you get is not the food you eat necessarily, not your exercise. Bodily exercise profiteth little. Well, I like that verse because I don't get a lot of bodily exercise. So I guess I could say, well, I wouldn't accomplish much if I got more. That's not necessarily true. I'm not advocating. I'm just saying God said, if you want your health to speed, just serve me, follow me. Then he says, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. Since I don't have any and you don't either, God said, I will impute you. He's got enough righteousness to go around, and he is really eager to give you of his righteousness and me of his righteousness. Because the righteousness of God is imputed to me. People can see. Righteousness means right relationship with God, right standing, right choices, right attitude, right living, right getting forgiveness, on and on and on. The righteousness of God, he said, will go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. The glory of the Lord. One of these days I want to preach a whole message, John. The glory of the Lord be thy reward. The glory of God. Can you imagine? Can you just imagine that Solomon in his glory as he was offering sacrifice, 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 and he had built a temple just like God had given a pattern to his father David. And Solomon had carried out just to the letter as close as he could. And God was so pleased at them following instructions that the glory of the Lord was so thick they couldn't even go in the temple of worship. The glory of the Lord is light shining through. When does it happen? We talk about rewards. Now this is a reward when we were following him. Then shall thou call, and the Lord answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. Meditate on that for a while. If you're like me, sometimes you pray, and you have pretty much belief that God's not listening to that. He hears it, but he's not going to adhere to it. And the reasons, he'll let you know those two. You haven't followed me. You haven't prayed enough. You haven't been sincere enough. You let the world sing. On. But this is what he wants us to do. Now listen carefully to this verse. He says, you can, if the righteousness of God and the glory of God is breaking through in a new light and you're living for him like he wants you to, then he says, then you can call and the Lord shall answer. Not only will he hear you, he hears everything. He hears all the evil and all the rock music and all the devil. He hears it all, but he doesn't regard it. He doesn't adhere to it. But if we want God to answer our prayers, now remember, it's got to be the right kind of prayer. The prayer that glorifies him. Anything, yes, your name, if it brings the kingdom of God. And that's what we were after in 1996, because God said we'd have a 2 months window of opportunity. People sacrificed, and along the journey, the next 2 months, every Sunday he'd tell us what to do. We met during the week, and we'd pray, we'd walk around. Whatever he said do, we did. For the most part, we just shut off TV, and or at least I did, shut off communication. I wouldn't even listen to the radio, not even preaching, because he had locked me so close into him. He said, don't let anything mar my voice. Other people can mar the voice of God because he can lock you in. So you only hear his words and you only follow him. And in those 2 months, we did our best to do that. Did it work? The full reward came and the glory of the Lord appeared. He hasn't changed. If we're candidates today for the goodness of God and the things of God, he'll do it again, even greater. Then shall thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here am I. Parents, grandparents, we love our children. Natalie, let me use you. If one of those beautiful little girls, particularly when they were little, had cried during the night, and you just got in the bed and you were sick, and they'd cried to help, you'd been there, wouldn't you? Oh, yeah. A mother, a caring dad, a grandparent, hears the voice of her children. How much more? God promised, if we'll live according to the precepts, he not only will hear, he will answer. If I take away, you'll say, here am I. Boy, to hear him say that. When he says, here am I, you know, you guys, attention, you know that anything you ask, he's going to do. You know, undivided attention, the full reward, the reward. If I take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speak in vanity. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy daughter be as thy darkness be as a noonday. Listen to this. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, moment by moment, hour by hour, through the darkness, through the sickness, through the distress, continually. He promises to do these things. But notice the word if. That's up to us, the choices we make. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a water garden, like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundation of many generations. And thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, restorer of paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing that pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, holy of the Lord, honorably, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shall thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. We're considering the things God wants us to consider in our walk, He considers our walk. We're making choices, and we know the consequences. It'll help us make the right choices, because He keeps using His word, if. If we'll do our part, you know He's going to do His part. Lastly, let's look at the circumstances. I don't look much at them because we know them. It's bad out there, isn't it? Well, the Bible says it's going to get worse. In the last days, perilous times shall come. They are here. And the wicked shall do wickedly, more so. All that's a given. So that's circumstances. But let's consider the thought, circumstances don't count with God. The only thing He's looking at is your walk, your choices, and mine. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then, see, God's giving us those choices. It's not what Washington does or the world does. I know that affects us. But see, in building the kingdom of God and having the joy, the peace, and the prosperity of our souls and the righteousness, the world can't touch that. No circumstance, I know it'd be more pleasurable and easier for our bodies and make a lot of things easier for us, but sometimes God allows things so we'll make a sacrifice. Let me ask you a question. Search your own heart. When you struggle and you work and you pray and you really look forward to something and you work for it and you strive for it, and then when you get it, there's a satisfaction, isn't it? And then when somebody just gives you something you didn't work for it, probably didn't even deserve it, like something on the silver platter, doesn't mean much to you, does it? So God allows things like this that we go through to prove us, to see what we're really made of, and to see if we're really going to submit ourselves to Him. And if we do, any circumstances the devil's put before you, doesn't matter. Because if you retain the joy of the Lord, which is your strength, Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Things wasn't always good in Nehemiah's time. Things wasn't good in 1996. Things aren't good today, and if we're around next year, they'll be far worse, I'll assure you. And this is not a message to deflate us. It's a message to tell us how we can get through it with the joy of the Lord. Would you stand? No circumstance, nothing the devil does, can hinder you from having the peace of God in your heart. But some things we have to consider. The choices. Will you ask God to search your heart and promise Him that when He shows you something in there is not right, you'll repent of it and you'll turn? That's your choice. And if you want these blessings that He laid down before us, considering your walk and getting you through all these bad, you have to make that choice. Would you come play something on the piano? Organ, whatever God puts on your heart. Altar is open. Thank you, Lord, for letting me remember what you did 24 years ago. And you can do it again. Circumstances are quite different. They're much worse. Well, that's okay. God hasn't changed one bit. Altar is open as they play. Remember, we're living in times that we need God. And He promised, if you'll cry, I'll answer. And I'll say, here am I. But we've got to consider all those choices. If I regard iniquity in my heart, He will not hear my prayer. So any feeling you've got wrong about anybody, you've got to get rid of it. You've tried, it won't work, I know that. Ask Him to help you. Say, Lord, I don't want that hard feeling anymore. I don't want those hateful things in my life. Empty yourself before God and ask Him to fill you with Himself. We need this to to get you through the times ahead, and for him to increase us as he did before. He about doubled us before in 2 months. In fact, that's what he did. And it wasn't just number. We measure things by number. God measures it a lot better than that. Empty yourself before the Lord. Many of you have got sickness, despair. The worst thing we have is lost family members. God could use you if you will bow before him and say, God, I want what you want me to have. He already told me this morning, love, it begins with love. Goes through a burden, and that burden will cause you to listen to God and shut out the world and anything of the world. All you want is when God speaks, anxious to do it. Knowing there will be sacrifices, but that's okay. Sacrifices and obedience to God is better than anything you do. Obedience. Lord Jesus, I thank you this morning for your word, for remembering and reassuring ourselves that your word is true and nothing the devil lays in their path can detain or divert or destroy the things you want us to do and keep us from the things of God. In fact, you'll help us so much that the more the devil strives to hurt, the more you'll help. And I pray and I ask your favor upon these people. It's up to us, the choices we make. Whether or not we really in our heart want you to guide us. You said you would, but we have to desire it. And I pray, Father, that you'll put that desire in their heart and these days to follow you completely and listen to nothing except the Holy Spirit's guidance. Thank you so much for this opportunity for these people. We love you and thank you for loving us with a love that gave yourself for us. In Jesus' name, for your sake and for your glory, amen.